At this point, we're going to go ahead and have our scripture reading taken from Mark 5. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed, and they pressed in around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who it was that had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and she fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And when Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and they told him, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" And ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but is asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. And he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and she walked around. And she was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. What a scripture. But I want to tell you that I think the instructions in this scripture are probably one of the hardest things that Jesus ever told us to do. Can you imagine Jairus? He's told his daughter is dead. Can you imagine a father's love breaking at that point? If you've ever lost a loved one, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, someone that we've loved, our heart just breaks. And here Jairus is with the teacher that he thought was going to heal her, and he's told, "You're too late. She's already dead." And then Jesus looks at him and says, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Just believe." How many times do we struggle with, one, there seems to be a reality that's happened. She's already dead. And someone says, "No, that's not the reality." For us as Christians, we live in this kind of a world all the time. One where there's this reality, and another that we're in a separate kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. In Scripture, we're taught that there is a time, a sickness that is a time for death. We know that. Everyone will at some point die in this world. Each and every one of us are proceeding down that path. There will be a day that we will be called home to be with Jesus. We know that. But we also have to stop and listen. We have to listen to see if Jesus says to us, "Do not be afraid, just believe." And how many times have we struggled with that? I have to tell you that this whole concept of Jesus healing the sick has been an area where I've struggled with for years. When I first went into the pastorate, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. As I studied about all the healing that Jesus did, I became convinced that it was God's will for him to be healed. And yet I saw him go downhill and downhill and downhill. And I struggled with that. And I still have always struggled with what is it that makes the difference? Why was it that every single person that was brought to Jesus was healed, and here in the church, we see healing only once in a while? We do see miraculous healing, and I rejoice in that. But I have to tell you that this is where I am at this point. I believe that sometimes Satan steals away those who are not to be dead. I believe that that is because the individual has not been able to have the understanding that Jesus didn't want them to die at that time. Now, there are times that it is God's timing. So I struggle. Was it God's time for my dad? I'll know when I get to heaven, because at that point I'll know everything. God will reveal all the hidden mysteries. But I think many times people are not believing that there is healing for them. They just accept, "I've got cancer. It's inevitable that I'm going to die." I say to you, do not accept that. Listen for Jesus' voice. If he says to you, "This is your time," then you can accept that. But if he does not say that, don't accept the lie from Satan. We have to ask him, "Lord, am I not to be afraid? Am I to believe?" There are people in our congregation that we can point to and say, the Lord laid it on their heart to know this was not their time. Marjorie is one of those sitting this morning who has had a bout with cancer. She understands that struggle, that fear. But she believed God's word that had said to her, "Believe and thou wilt be healed." Becky Van Horn is another one who has had that bout with cancer. I want us to recognize that sometimes it is a person's time. We don't understand the timing because we can't see what God sees. I think sometimes when I hear of children that have died for some reason or another, I believe it's because he's sparing them for something that he knows would have happened. That Jesus' love and compassion takes people home so they won't have to experience the evil that may befall them. Our God is a loving God. David's another one that sits here today when we know that only through God's power was he healed. We are praying for Marcus. We believe that it is God's power that will heal him. We're praying that he will come to that same belief and faith and he will so quickly be healed. We prayed for Jonathan this morning, Arabella's father, because we believe God is our healer. This is why we go before him and we beseech him. But we have to listen for that voice. We need to listen to see if he says, "Don't be afraid." You know, sometimes that's the hardest thing, I think, is that fear. What am I going to do if God decides it's time to take my loved one home? We have to come to a point where we say, "My God is by my side. He will carry me. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Footprints in the Sand reading. It is one of my favorites. It talks about how a man was walking down the beach and he was having a conversation with God. And as they're walking down the beach, he sees God's footprints and he sees his own footprints. And as they continue down that beach all at once, he sees there's only one set of footprints. And he turns to God and he says, "Where were you? That was when the worst time in my life." And he says, "But that is the time that I carried you." God is there to carry us through those times. But He's also there to sometimes whisper and say, "Do not be afraid." Sometimes we need things to remind us. And I think as I thought about that, and I was talking with Monica this morning and thinking about how the things that she has experienced in her life, sometimes we just have to find a way to believe. But how is it that we find that way? Well, at times in my life, I've taken scriptures. I've written them down on a card. I've said them every day, or I've stuck them on the refrigerator. Sometimes I've even put them in the bathroom on occasion. Because I needed something to remind me of the promise of God. That's the key. Being reminded that our God is faithful. He does not turn His back on us ever. Ever. He is always there. So this morning, as we think about Jairus and the struggle he must have had, I think probably all of us can relate. We've all probably had that struggle at some point in our life. But he gave the authority to Jesus. He let Jesus kick the people out of the house that were already mourning. Did you see that? Those people wouldn't have listened if Jairus hadn't given Jesus authority. That's another one of the keys. Giving Jesus the authority. Make Him Lord. And once He is Lord, He is in control. Just as Jairus handed the key to Jesus and kicked out all the unbelievers. Sometimes we have to just not listen to what the unbelievers are telling us. But by unbelievers, I mean those who are not believing in the message of get well. Yes. Sometimes those who are Christian sometimes do not hear the correct voice. We have to stop and say, "Whose voice is it? Whose voice is it?" And then give authority to the Lord Jesus' voice. So, all right. Our Father, we thank You that there is no place that You do not go. That to the depths of hell or anywhere, You are there with us. As long as we are Your children, You live and dwell within us, Lord, and we thank You for that. So, Father, this morning, go with us. Help us to choose to hear Your voice and to believe as You want us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.